Fucking. It's a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, unless you're Mark Cabal and you're pissed because you're tired and you got to cover a draft tonight. Welcome in. Not sure if you heard Kaboom right before the show started or not. Not sure if the feed caught that or not, but he gave you a little four-letter word about how tired he is and how excited he is for the first round of the NFL draft tonight. I'm Chris Mack. He's Mark Cabal. This is Cabal and Mack, presented by the Dan Heck Team. HeckTeamHomes.com if you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, they are all incredibly busy these days because the housing market, people are all over it. They want to sell homes this time of year. They want to buy homes. They're going to make time for you, though, and they want to get you in the home of your dreams, maybe a starter home, whatever it may be. Maybe you're moving from one to the other. Doesn't matter. Go to HeckTeamHomes, H-A-E-C-K. You see it there on the screen. HeckTeamHomes.com, as the Dan Heck Team are the presenting sponsors of Cabal and Mack, and we thank them for their support. Kaboom, good morning. Do you need more coffee?
I'm past the coffee. I've been up since like 5 a.m.
Why?
What the heck is on my... I'm looking out my...
What are you preoccupied with now?
I'm looking out my window, and it looks like there's a big-ass bug on my window.
Minute and a half into the show, ladies and gentlemen. Cabal's already distracted.
It's a big-ass bug. Uh-oh, there it is. It was one of those big black spiders, but it's outside.
Okay, so we're not going to hear you scream like a little girl. Big? Yeah?
What the hell?
You going to be okay?
As long as it doesn't come in here, I'm all right.
All right, cool. I'm happy then. I'm happy that you're okay with the spider. I'm digging the new TJ baseball hat there, though. That's looking that? Good. That looks sharp. I like that one.
How about that? Nothing like a youth baseball Thomas Jefferson, right?
Absolutely. I've got many of those hats in my closet.
By the way, today is Take Your Kid to Work Day. Where's your kid?
He is upstairs with my wife learning about processing mortgages. So.
See, the problem is my daughter has the PSSA test today. So
I was told they're not having them today because it's Take Your Kid to Work Day. Because my son has had them all week, too.
Oh, that's not what I was told, but
maybe he lied to us so he could get out of testing.
Well, the boy's in second grade. He doesn't have him, but
yeah,
the other one's girl's in fourth grade, and she's actually excited about it. So unless that was just a way to get not to go into work with mom.
Our son is in sixth grade, and I literally told him not to even worry about the standardized test.
Get his butt down here on the program.
I told him that he was free to come down and visit during the show. I don't know if he'll show his face or not. We could get his first round mock anyway.
Unless he put it on his Instagram, like Jim Shane or Joe Shane or what the kid. Did you see that?
No. Hold on. We got to talk social media nonsense here. First,
there's a lot of it going on right now.
There's a lot. What did Joe Shane's kid do?
He posted highlights of Jackson Dart.
So we're all supposed
jumped
to
on it, and he made his feed private.
Did nobody watch Hard Knocks last year and see that Joe Shane's kid asked him to draft? Who did he ask him to sign? He asked him to sign somebody. Maybe
he told just him to draft Jaden Daniels, right?
That's what it was. He asked him to draft Jaden Daniels. So listen, this is not the other New York team, the Jets, where Woody Johnson's grandson basically runs the joint via his Madden simulator. This is the New York football Giants, where when they screw up, they can't blame it on their kids. It's their own poor decisions, but that's funny. I will text them. I'll text the boy, who, oddly enough, his avatar, you know how you can change your photo on your contact thing on your iPhone?
I guess.
You know, because you've done it.
No, I just hit, it says okay, and I'm like, okay, I guess.
Yeah, because yours is a picture of you and your son.
Really?
When you text me, that's what pops up on the screen.
How have I know that?
You seriously don't know that?
How would I know that? I don't text myself.
Look.
Yeah, how about that? That was from like, where'd we go? Outer Banks about 3 or 4 years ago.
Well, it's a nice picture of the two of you, especially because it obscures most of your face. Oh,
that was the whole point.
Yeah, it's a good job by. But for some reason, my son, he jumps back and forth between which non-Steelers he really likes a lot. His is, for some reason, a picture of Jaden Daniels, which I can't get to come up now for some reason. But
it's a picture of Shedeur Sanders.
No, it's not a picture of Shedeur Sanders, but I'll have to text him here and say, do you want to come down and tell everyone the Steelers' first round pick who it should be? There we go.
Yeah, get away from the processing mortgages.
Yeah, that's no fun. Nobody wants to do that. We will go over your 7-round mock draft. Although a 7-round mock draft is kind of a misnomer because nobody sits down. Don't lie to me now. You didn't sit down and do every team's pick for 7 rounds in order to figure out the Steelers' pick for the 7th round. You let a simulator pick for all the other teams, and you just picked who was available for the Steelers, right?
That's why I hate the mock drafts right now. Back in the day, you actually had to put some effort and work into it.
Put the muscle in.
And now when you know do a mock draft per day by hitting a button. I mean, I really haven't looked at it much this year because I don't like the simulators. But I went on to one, and there was like Jackson Dart 172 overall. I'm like, well, I guess this isn't one I'm not using.
No, I can't find one that I really super like. And – I'm cheap, so I don't subscribe to PFF, so I don't use theirs.
Crap.
So I've used all kinds of different ones. This morning I did one, and I used ESPN's.
You know what you do is you put, you give a basic outline of where people may go, and then from there on you can make an educated guess.
Well, we'll go over yours. We'll go over the one I threw together like 5 seconds before the show started, and we will talk a lot of. Wide receiver social media usage, because apparently that's a big deal this morning. I don't know. We'll get into all of it. Thanks as well to our friends at Southwest Greens for sponsoring Cabali and Mac as well. It's that time of year. You're doing so much out in the yard trying to get it to look good. I got my crazy neighbor who thinks he's a groundskeeper. He's like Bill Murray at Bushwood out there working on the yard constantly. If he had Southwest Greens, he'd have the best looking lawn in the neighborhood still, but he wouldn't have to spend all that time on it. You can get a beautiful artificial lawn that looks real, feels real, acts real without spraying all the chemicals on it, without spending hundreds of dollars on watering it all the time, every single month, without having to maintain it, all the trimming, all the mowing, all that. Forget about it. Just have a beautiful lawn that you can use whenever you want to use it. Safe for you, the kids, the pets, family, all of it. Waiting for you at southwestgreenspa.com. Tell Jake, our good friend there, that Cabali and Mac sent you. So let's start with the 7-round mock, Kaboom. I looked at yours this morning.
You sound real thrilled.
Well, look.
I looked at it.
Well, because I question your 3rd-round pick and whether that guy is going to be there.
Well, but, didn't I say that there?
About you that,
yes. Get lucky there.
Well, that's the thing. You would have to get very lucky, I think. But we moved pretty similarly through our mock drafts. We just came up with some different players each time. I'm just going to go through yours pick by pick, round by round, and then we can dissect it. So your 1st-round pick, I think most of us who aren't buying into all the Shedeur Sanders hype are looking at this pretty straightforward. They're going to take the Weidel plan has started to take effect. Heavy offensive line last year, probably heavy defensive line this year, at least 2 picks in the top 4, maybe on the defensive line if it falls that way because it's a deep D-line draft. It's the Weidel plan. It's the Philly plan. You rebuild the trenches, and then you step on the gas from there, especially because there isn't a franchise quarterback available to you in this draft. So you have Derek Harmon going 1st at 21, as do I. I love the guy if this ends up being the pick because I've used the phrase before. I think it's going to end up being accurate. He's Cam Hayward 2.0.
Yeah. The only thing you basically have to worry about is somebody grabs him beforehand.
Yes.
I don't think they're in position to be able to move up the foot, Broderick Jones 6 spots to be able to get a guy like that. I mean, he can go anywhere from, 12 to 30 right now.
Yeah, there's people that have him falling out of the first round. I don't buy into that. I don't buy into him going top 15 either. I think he's right there in that 15 to 25 sweet spot.
You have to watch the Bengals. I'm saying you got to watch the Bengals.
But I think with Walter Nolan there, it's a nice little insurance policy that both of them are probably in that 15 to 25, 20 to 30 range.
I still like Harmon a lot better.
I like Harmon better too. He's better size, I think, and it can play. I think will play better on the interior when they bump him inside than Nolan would. Nolan has shown a little bit more of a propensity to be a guy that they can bump outside, but that's not going to really work so much in the Steelers scheme. So Harmon is the better fit, I think, for the Steelers. We both have him going to the Steelers at 21. No trade up for anything. That's silly, given the draft capital that they don't have at their disposal this year. And no trade back. Although, I'll say it again. I said it yesterday. If both Harmon and Nolan are still available at 21 and someone pays them pretty well, like a third round pick for the opportunity to move up 5-6 spots from the mid to late 20s to 21, I think they'd have to seriously question not doing that. Why wouldn't you if both of those D linemen are still available and you have a good feeling about being able to move back 3, 4, maybe 5 picks and still get that guy, one of those guys?
Oh, you're taking a chance. If somebody else jumps up, somebody else wants him, then all of a sudden you lose the guy that you want. Then you go to plan B or plan C after that. That's what you have to worry about. I mean, historically, if there's a guy there, they're not going to move back. I mean, I guess the only time they did that was with Hampton, but they're pretty much sure that nobody behind him was going to grab him beforehand. So that's why they were able to do that. So I find it very, very unlikely for them to even go back a couple spots. I think they're going to have one of their top five people still left on the board at 21 and saying, we're not giving up a sure first round pick for taking a chance. So I just think they're staying put.
I also think that given all – we talked smokescreen season yesterday, all the stories that are out there about, oh, the Steelers are taking calls on trading back. Oh, the Steelers, if Shedeur Sanders is there. Oh, the Steelers. That is classic, and Mike Tomlin alluded to this during his press conference on Tuesday with Omar Khan, and we talked about it yesterday. He knows exactly how to play the room, and in this case, the room is the national media and all the stuff that they are not only feeding the public, but feeding all the other GMs and head coaches around the league. That man, I would love to play poker with Mike Tomlin because I got a feeling he would, it would be a hell of a show because there would be times where he would tell you absolutely nothing based on his face. And then there are times he would do his best to tell you absolutely everything that he wanted you to think. Like, dude, I think this is another underrated part of Tomlin, I think, is that I think he's very good at knowing how to navigate what the media is going to say about him and his team and what he wants to do.
Yeah, I mean, so you're saying basically the kind of opposite of me, of being a poker face?
Well, I think he's the opposite of, I'll say this, he lets on certain things that he wants people to believe. And I think everything else he just keeps to himself and keeps close to the vest. Like, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if they draft Harmon and we find out that that's the guy they had pegged the entire time. And you haven't heard one single national media person go, the Steelers love Derek Harmon.
Yeah, you know, but going back to Shedeur Sanders right now, I've never seen a more, I'm sure there has been, but more polarizing, but maybe not even polarizing, a bigger gap between this guy's the next star to this guy's the next bum. I just watched Orlovsky talking about how if the Steelers had a better offensive line, which is, I mean, I don't know what else you need right now. He's acting like they're the, you know, 2010 Steelers offensive line right now. And that's not the case. That Shedeur Sanders can come in and make an immediate impact. And Merle Hodge went on TV yesterday and just totally, absolutely ripped Shedeur Sanders and knew, you know what.
Yeah.
And, I do believe that wasn't Hodges the one that ripped Johnny Manziel, saying this guy would never, ever be any good in the league whatsoever. So
that comparison has been made a good bit over the last few days.
The span of this guy's going to be really good to this guy stinks. It doesn't even seem like there's a middle ground. It's either great or stinks.
Yeah, and I think that's what's funny is he's probably going to land somewhere in the middle. I think he's going to be a middling starter because he can do some decent things. I think there's some leadership qualities there, sure. I also think there's an inability to do some things physically that people...
Check down Charlie, baby. 74% completion percentage because he doesn't throw the ball more than 3 yards down the field.
Right, which was part of the scheme there because of the offensive line and how bad it was. But still, like, it still holds that, like, we haven't seen him make those throws. We've talked about it a lot. The piss missiles on the 15-yard out.
He got sacked like 90-some-odd times in 2 years at Colorado.
He got absolutely buried.
It fit right in here with the old Ben days.
They'd have to bring Haley back
into the sacks.
They'd have to bring Todd back in to avoid the sacks. All right. So we both agree on Derek Harmon in the first round. I think
if he's there.
If he's there. And I feel pretty good about him being there. So that said, neither of us have them trading to get back into the second round. Neither of us have them trading a wide receiver to get a second round pick. Let's pause in the middle of the seven round mock to talk about the story of the last 18 hours or so, 12 hours even, which is George Pickens. You have to say it breathlessly like it's a breaking news alert. George Pickens has unfollowed the Steelers on Instagram. Hasn't this happened like 17 times already, Mark?
Yeah, it is. Who in the world is the loser to found this out? Let me go look at George Pickens' followers and see who he's following and who he's scrubbed or not. Maybe he's getting tired of hearing his name being thrown out there every time he goes on social media. So he doesn't want anything to do with it. He just wants to focus on maybe. I don't know. He's done it a handful of times. One time he said he doesn't even do anything on post on anything on Instagram. Then an hour later he posted something on Instagram. I mean, it's just crazy. I would love to know who found this out. Plus, you know, what are we going to do? We're talking about that, him scrubbing his social media, so to speak, or are we talking about these Steelers are fielding calls and making calls, but they're not interested, but they're calling in just to see if somebody wants to pick up and say hello.
You know what everyone's doing today, night, this morning?
Probably already did it.
Making phone calls and fielding phone calls. That's what everybody in the league is doing today. Because if they weren't, they wouldn't be doing their jobs. And it doesn't mean anybody's getting moved or anybody's moving up or down to get any particular play. Like, and look, this idea, our guy, Brian Garrett, Pony's burner, GP to Green Bay for a third round pick, he says. First of all, that's a terrible trade. Second of all, why? I can't remember who I saw say this on social media last night. It was just a random comment I saw on one of these silly posts. But it was the best way I could think of putting it. Who in their right mind trades George Pickens before you see what your offense can do with Metcalf and Pickens together? Why do you not want to see how that works? Why do you not want to see what you're capable of with both of those guys in the same offense?
Yeah, I mean, just I've been saying for months now, and Mark Malone just said it too, man. Unless George comes and says, I'm done, out, you don't even – I guess there's two scenarios. And George says, I'm out. I'm done. Get rid of me. I'm not showing up. I'm going to be a problem. You better get rid of me. Or if Dallas comes and says, I will give you 3 first round picks and, you know, what's his name? I was trying to make a Bo Callahan reference, you know, you know, then maybe you do it, right? But besides that, I don't do it.
Well, and here's a good one from Bucko Dan on YouTube. There's no guarantee you're going to get a third round comp pick.
Bucko Dan, okay, my fault.
But Bucko Dan, yeah, relax. We're not repeating the word you said right before the show started that I think got out on the feed.
Shouldn't have hit play.
I told you I was hitting live, and you still wanted to sit there and profanely curse your inability to get quality sleep. Anyway, Bucko Dan makes a good point. Yeah, the third round comp pick isn't guaranteed. No. Nothing's guaranteed. It's the same thing we've said in relation to all the people that go, we ought to tank this year, and then they can get Arch Manning. Nothing's guaranteed. And that's so
that's why you get look for today and worry about tomorrow.
Exactly. So you don't worry about George Pickens unfollowing you on Instagram. You think about, if you're Arthur Smith, you could give two shits who George Pickens follows on Instagram. All you care about is devising schemes where Metcalf and Pickens are absolutely torturing coverages. And whether one or both of them get open, or a tight end like Muth is open in the middle of the field, or whatever. You're just cooking things up right now. There's no reason. I can't imagine not wanting to see what those two can do together. So that's why we each have no second round pick in our mock draft.
That damn spider's trying to get in the house too.
Is there any way in for it?
I don't think so, unless I open the door, but I see he's trying. Is there a she and a he?
I think spiders have he's and she's.
I'm keeping an eye.
I'll call it they just to be appropriate.
It.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah,
I'm keeping an eye on that son of a there he is. He's walking across the screen now, that son of a gun. Look at the size of that thing. It's furry, too. All right, go ahead.
Third round. Quinshon Judkins? There's no way he's around at 83.
Well, I told you. I pretty much couched that in it's a deep class. Right. Maybe people were a little scared off because of Travion Henderson splitting carries with him. You'd have to get lucky, maybe. Maybe, I mean, I think a lot has to go right there. Maybe I just wanted to put Quayshon Junkins in there, or whatever the hell his name is, just so I could say Quayshon Junkins. But I think the running back is a good fit there. Maybe the guy from Kansas State, I forget his name. Names are not good with me. But
names are not good with you, or you're not good with names. Let's be a little more specific.
You know, be honest with you, I think running back in that spot was at 83.
Yeah.
Is a good point to jump off of right there, where you're like, 83 could be a place where you can go and get a running back. I mean, Junkins, I mean, everybody's going to have their own taste, man. Maybe he doesn't fit into what some people want. So it's probably unlikely, but I wouldn't be shocked that a running back goes at that spot.
Don't get me wrong. If he's there at 83, I would jump on it. And yeah. I also have them taking a running back at 83 as well. If Caleb Johnson from Iowa is there, although I don't think he'll make it there, I would love Caleb Johnson there. Either of the Ohio State backs, if for some reason they're around at 83, Henderson or Judkins. I think more realistically, what you're probably getting at 83 is like a Dylan Sampson or a Cam Scataboo. Sampson from Tennessee, Scataboo from Arizona State. I think that's probably more realistic. I went with Scataboo.
Really?
I think there's going to be a run on, no pun intended, a run on running backs as well when we get into the late second, early third.
Scataboo would fit in nicely here. I mean, people would love him here, but
oh my god, I don't know
if he'd be a different. Could you imagine? First of all, the Yinzers trying to pronounce Scataboo.
Game Scataboo.
They'd have to either like really compress the name on the back of the jersey, or might have to do the little arc one. You know,
it's not that long. It's only 8 letters.
Scataboo, whatever. No,
his word is 7 letters. What are you talking about?
I don't know. Maybe I don't know how to spell Scataboo then.
Skattebo.
I thought there was more O's.
Scatterbomb. Whatever his name
Whatever, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know if he's a difference maker, right?
I don't know.
He's a solid player, but is he a number one RB1 difference maker?
So what's one of the things, and I've heard people say this about other – about just calls they've had with GMs and coaches in general over the last week. But we know it's a thing. I think you brought it up yesterday or the day before that Mike Tomlin absolutely loves. Football guys, right? Guys that want to play football. Cam Scataboo is Scataboo. Scatterbomb is a football guy. Yeah, I know. That is a guy who wants to play football. That is a guy who loves the game. And I think that sort of intangible, which we know goes a long way with the Steelers, would be a reason if he's there at 83 and all those other names that I mentioned, Henderson, Judkins, Caleb Johnson, are off the board, that they would look at a Scataboo instead of like a Jordan James or the kid Tootin from Virginia Tech or ETN. I think Scadaboo makes more sense for the Steelers there in that spot.
You know what? If people are watching this on YouTube or whatever, they need to jump onto the comments because I think there's a
fight. And just watch Bucko Dan and Mark Malone go at it.
This is maybe we should just back off a little bit and let them go at it.
Just let the two of them argue about a George
maybe they
about
start
a George a, comp pick.
Maybe they should start a podcast, Bucko Dan and Malone show.
It has been entertaining. All right, so we both have them going running back in the third round, which. That if any of those guys we just mentioned are there at 83, look, Genty and Hampton aren't going to be there, but Caleb Johnson, the Ohio State guys, Henderson and Judkins, Sampson, Scadaboo, any of those guys there at 83, I'm good with.
Remember, so, somebody has to fall. You know, they all can't be first or second round picks. Somebody's going to get to the third.
Yeah, I mean, there's DJ Giddens from Kansas State, Devin Neal from Kansas.
If you want a running back at that spot. I mean, Warren's
I think it makes a ton of sense because based on the way the board falls. Now, you could – I don't think they would do this, and I think it would get a lot of people shaking their heads going, wait, what? But again, I mentioned Weidel before. They are in their Andy Weidel era here. They could go D-line again in the third round. They could go D-line with each of their top two picks.
Well, they did the last year. They went what? 1, 2, 4. And the year before that, they did 1.
For the O-line, yeah.
Yeah, and what did they do? Spencer at 7. It took 5 offensive linemen in a span of 2 drafts.
Right. So now it's the defensive line's turn. Again, we're in the Weidel era now. I firmly believe that, which is why in the fourth round, do you have them going defensive line again in the fourth round? Yes, you do. Josh, you have Josh Farmer from Florida State. I have JJ Pegase from Ole Miss.
Josh Frazier was a 7th round pick out of Alabama. Maybe 8 years ago. That's why I said Josh Frazier. But yeah, Josh Farmer, very similar. He's a guy who might need a little bit more seasoning. Can play multiple positions. Can play the 0, can all the way out to the 5 maybe, I guess. You don't need him right away. Big guy, athletic guy. They brought him in for a visit. I mean, I wouldn't be against double dipping defensive linemen. History shows like with the Weidel con, cause this will be draft number 3 where they're solely in charge of.
Right.
And when they went all in on offensive line 2 years in a row, why wouldn't they go all in on defensive line this year? And I think that could be a plan. And I keep prefaces him with, depends on how the draft.
Obviously, everything here is disclaimed with depends on how it falls. It's huge
because if you take, say they take Shador in the first round, I don't know, then that just.
Do we really think? Hold on, let me push pause on the entire conversation. Do we really think that's a realistic possibility?
Everything's a possibility.
Okay, but percentage chance that if Shador Sanders is on the board at 21, they are taking him. I mean, I put it at less than 5%.
Depends on who else is there.
Okay, let's go with this scenario then. Derek Harmon, off the board. Walter Nolan, off the board. Amarion Hampton, off the board. Shador Sanders is still there. Jackson Dart, off the board. Yeah.
I mean, where do you go?
Trade back.
Well, but they're probably going to have somebody else there that they like that you just don't – you're unaware of right now. So I wouldn't give it – I would give it a shot. I'm never going to say here. They're never taking Shador Sanders. But I think it's one of the lower percentages.
That's where – I mean, honestly, that's where I trade back. I trade back into the late first round and hopefully pick up a third or fourth round pick from someone in order to do so. And then I'm looking at like one of those,
How far do you go back?
Again, 5-6 picks. Again, we're talking about a scenario where Harmon and Nolan are both off the board and Dart is off the board and Hampton's off the board. And you're sitting there as a team that brought in 9 running backs and 8 defensive linemen for visits. So everybody knows where your focus is. And everybody knows or has a pretty good idea of what you'd like to get with your top two picks. And but they also know that if all of the players that you prefer at those spots or at those positions are gone and you're sitting there at 21, there's you may look around and go, there is not a single player on this board that we like at the 21st pick. We could drop back 10 picks right now and still feel comfortable with who we end up with.
Well, once again, I mean, if you're moving back in the first round, say he's there, you still want a first round pick, right? So you're not going to move out of like 34 to the Giants, right? So who else is available there? You're looking at the Rams at 26, maybe the Lions at 28. Other than that, there's nobody to trade with unless you're getting out of the first round.
Well, I mean, you have no idea who the Lions, the Eagles, the Chiefs,
Commanders,
could be interested
Ravens,
in.
Rams, Texans, Vikings, Packers.
Right, you have
Chargers.
No idea who. You have no idea who they could be interested in. So maybe they call you up and say, man, there's an edge. Look, I'm not telling you who we're taking, but there's an edge we really like, and we got to get up in this spot. We'll give you our third. Okay, sure. Go for it.
Hey, Brian Garrett, I did have a CPAP machine, worst machine ever invented in life.
I couldn't sleep like that.
I used it for like 2 days and said, well, that's enough of this crap.
I couldn't sleep with a hose.
Oh, it's awful. I mean, whoever's out there, don't even try. It's the worst invented machine ever.
Okay, so we both have them going a second defensive lineman in the fourth round. So first pick on Saturday afternoon. Again, you have, who is it? The kid from Florida, right? What's his name?
Josh
Farmer. I have J.J. Pegues from...
No relation to Sam Farmer.
Well, you never know. Go far enough back on the family tree, they may be.
Your guy is just being mocked so much to the Steelers.
Well, they brought him in for a visit, Pegues.
They also brought 29 other guys in, too.
Right. I'm not saying it means they're going to draft him. I'm saying...
He's a monster. What size is he?
Pegues?
Yeah, he's a monster.
Hold on. Let me pull up his exact size for you since you haven't done your homework, I guess. He's 6'3", 309. What's different about that?
Doesn't he play? I think he's more like 330, isn't he?
I'm looking at the official weight.
F that. He probably lost some weight. He's probably back up to 330.
But you're talking about another massive human like Harmon.
Doesn't he play fullback too?
Yeah, they had some packages involved. I think it was just Kiffin trying to have fun and be creative, and it worked. But, like, the guy can line up anywhere on the defensive line from the A-gap all the way out. So, you know, he is versatile in that he played on the other side of the ball in high school. He's a big guy, like I said, just like Harmon, who can play up and down the defensive line. Why wouldn't you want versatile guys on the D-line who – like I said with Harmon, if Harmon is Cam Hayward 2.0, J.J. Pegues is just Cam Hayward light. Like, I don't think he's as good as Cam. I don't think he has that high-end potential, but he could be almost as good as Cam. If you have Harmon, Pegues, Benton lined up on your defensive line for the next 5, 6, 7 years, you've rebuilt your defensive line.
You're telling me a fourth-round pick and you're comparing him to a Hall of Famer? You're like, oh, he can be as good as Cam.
I said he's not as good as Cam. Cam Hayward light.
Like or light?
Light. Like light beer on the side of this hat that I'm wearing.
See? Hey, but I'm just reading something that says he takes poor pursuit angles, so there goes that.
Well, forget it then. If he takes poor pursuit angles, according to PFF, then we cannot draft him.
All right, fifth round. Who did you have him going with in the fifth round?
I just realized
what you did in the fifth round.
You didn't
Holy
see that.
Shit. Before we get to this, I have to thank our good friends and apologize to everyone that just heard me yell a bad word very loud. That happens occasionally here. Cavalli started the show with one. Thanks to our friends at Impact HVAC, the AC is now working beautifully in our house. They've replaced our furnace and completely replaced the compressor in our AC in the last month. It's been busy around our house. Maybe around your house, it's not as busy. You just need them to come out and give the AC a check before things really start to heat up in the spring and summer. Either way, give them a call, 412 297-1852, or check them out on Facebook, Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. Our good friends from Impact HVAC, we thank them for supporting Cabali and Mac. I can't believe Kyle McCord in the fifth round from Syracuse. What are you smoking?
You need a backup, right?
Man. See, if they can't get, I understand there's a chance this will happen, that they'll take a quarterback in like the fifth or sixth round. But if they can't get, there's no quarterback in this draft that is doing you much good, that is still going to be on your roster in 3 or 4 years, right? They're going to come in, they're going to be a backup for a couple years, and then they're going to move on, move on with their life's work, as the great Emperor Chuck Knoll used to say.
I don't see any harm in taking a guy with great arm talent and picking him in the fifth round. And, you know, worst comes to worst, you could be a long-term backup. You could be the Landry Jones of the worlds, or the Mason Rudolphs of the worlds, or something to like that. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be your starter, but I think they need some youth into that room. They get Aaron Rodgers, if they get, you know, this is all based on not taking the quarterback in the first or third rounds. So what's wrong with having Kyle McCord, who is a pure, you know, pocket passer with good arm strength, good arm action, and give him a whirl? I mean, you're going to need one eventually, right? As in backups. I don't know if I want to. We're talking about fifth round picks here. We're not talking about first or second picks. We're talking about, okay, fifth round picks should make the team, but they're probably not going to play. They're like special teamers.
See, if. I mean, look, these guys are all future high school football coaches. No disrespect to any high school football coaches out there listening to the show. I'm sure you all could have been great NFL quarterbacks at one point. But like everything from Ewers down through McCord, Howard, Gabriel, Leonard, Curtis Rourke, and beyond, they're high school football coaches in a couple years. They are. And so, look, maybe some of them hang on and they get a couple UFL years in there, or they're on practice squads. But, like, this quarterback class, I've been saying it for months, is garbage. And I don't have them going quarterback late in the draft, just because I don't think it's worth it to spend a draft pick. It's like, you remember our old friend Ed Bouchette, right?
Nope.
Ed would lose his shit when they would consider, or people would mock them, drafting a punter or a kicker.
He's a kicker.
He's a punter. Remember how he lost his mind over Sepulveda being drafted? I thought Ed was going to have a stroke when they drafted Sepulveda. And he's like, why would you draft a guy who you can pick up the same thing as a street free agent as soon as the draft is over? It just doesn't make any sense to me, guys. And I agree. You don't draft punters and kickers. You just don't.
Same with the Hall of Fame. He'd always get upset. He'd be like, he's a kicker.
What are we doing, guys?
So that's true. I mean, you have to agree with him.
Same thing is true of third string quarterbacks, though. Like, I don't need to draft a Kyle McCord when, if I really want some dude to take snaps in Latrobe and on the practice squad, I can pick up a Curtis Rourke as a street free agent, or a Graham Mertz, or a DJ
Skylar Thompson, huh?
What's that?
Or Skylar Thompson.
Right, I've already got Skylar Thompson on the roster if I need a crap third string quarterback. No offense, Skylar. I'm sure you're very nice.
Honestly, I mean, I don't understand what would hurt. I don't understand. You throw him in there and you see what he can do.
Yeah, I would much rather get myself a depth wide receiver or depth offensive line.
Dallas Bakers of the world that's just going to get cut.
No, not a Dallas. Well, maybe. But look, they have
Logan Lee. Who'd they pick in the fifth round last year?
I just took the best available receiver.
Ryan Watts.
Mock draft when the fifth round came up. I took Chimera DK from Florida. He's super fast. Field stretcher. I don't know how great he'd be running routes, but I mean, put him on the field, let him stretch the field every once in a while. You know, in the 1% of formations where Arthur Smith actually goes four wide, maybe he's out there on the field. But you've got Roman Wilson, you've got Calvin Austin. It's just something better to spend your draft capital on a really fast wide receiver, whether he ends up being a good pass catcher and route runner or not, than a guy who's going to take practice squad snaps at quarterback. I don't know.
Well, we're talking about third day, so
I know.
If you get a special teams player out of a third day, you're probably pretty happy.
All right, so you went wide receiver in the sixth round, a guy whose name I've seen in a couple spots, Nick Nash from San Jose State.
He can throw the ball. He can catch the ball. He's 39 years old. He's
some slash
college football for 7 years.
We could call him Slash Nash. People love that. We can make T-shirts down in the strip, Donnie Yinzers.
San Jose State. I mean, once again, the just looking for a guy that could maybe catch lightning in the bottle. Once again, you're picking sixth round pick there.
Yeah.
And in most years, that guy's a undrafted free agent.
So they do. I mentioned offensive line, like depth offensive line. I know you don't think they're going to do it because you already like the backup offensive lineman on the roster, at least think they like the backup offensive lineman on the roster. There's a guy who might be around in the fifth, sixth round. I got him in the sixth round in the mock draft that I did this morning. Jonah Monheim, who was the center at USC. You don't need a center, right? You don't. You're set there. But a good, strong, solid interior lineman to work behind the guys that you currently have. Again, nothing against the backups who are currently in place, but he was good at USC. And I think if you've got an opportunity to jump on that in like the fifth or sixth round, I have no problem with getting some more interior offensive line depth late in this draft.
The only thing I say about that is late in the pick, they almost look to add somebody who can also play special teams. And there goes that with your guy.
Well, but if you're getting a wide receiver somewhere else in the fifth or sixth, well, you got backup quarterbacks getting drafted. They're not playing
special teams. Well, the fifth round, what are we talking about here?
I mean, so you got your special teamer in the sixth round. I got one in the fifth round. How about that? There you go. We just traded off.
I got mine in the seventh, the last pick overall, brother.
You did get one with the seventh pick overall. My seventh pick overall, also probably just a special teams guy. Safety from Iowa State, Malik Verdon. You went with black and gold pedigree. Oh, my God. He took a Bruner. Carson Bruner, the linebacker from Washington.
You know he's a tough guy. I mean, you only have
he's
to see
Bruner, him. Of course he's a tough
guy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Who cares if he can play inside linebacker? Who cares if he had 100 tackles last year? Guy could probably be, if he's going to make the team, a seven-round pick, yet better be able to play multiple positions of special teams. And he has the build and the position, too. Usually they take linebackers late in the draft because they're those guys that can transition to special teams more than the other guy. So, and we know how much they love family guys and pedigree guys. And do Mark Bruner a solid? I mean, it might bring him in somewhere else, you know, undrafted free agent or something like that. Give the guy a couple bucks for signing bonus, bring him in. His dad's a scout out in the Pacific Northwest. That makes too much sense right there.
Oh, I like this call because I've read a little bit about this guy. Ricky White, the wide receiver from UNLV, Vegas TJG, says on YouTube, and the fifth would be good. He's a special teamer too, blocked four kicks last year. I just like anybody that played for Brennan Marion at UNLV because they've probably got a decent grasp of getting thrown into an offense that is like what did Ben call Haley's offense? He said he needed the Rosetta Stone in order
Rosetta
to understand
Stone, baby.
Yeah. But
I'd guarantee it was in Rosetta Stone.
But I have a soft spot for Brennan. I know he's at Sacramento State now, but the players that come up under Brennan always seem you have to have some kind of brains to understand the offense, that go offense, because guys are just all over the place. Here's a question. Ooh, this is a good one from Bucko Dan, who is now done arguing with Mark Malone, I think, in the comments on YouTube. He brings up Grant, the kid from Michigan, who I want to say you kind of wrote off very early in this process, Kaboom, as a possible Steelers pick. He asked about his inability to move up and down the line if they potentially take him at 21. He doesn't feel like, I don't know. I tend to agree with you that he doesn't feel like a Steelers defensive lineman in that I don't know how versatile he can be up and down the defensive line.
I mean, people like to compare him to Jordan Davis. He's not Jordan Davis. Not Jordan Davis. So get that out of your mind right now. I mean, he could eventually maybe be able to be position flexible, but right now, and I always say that about a first-round pick, I am not picking a first-round pick who can, you know, it is max can play 20 snaps a game. What are we doing?
So do you really think Derek Harmon is going to get plugged in? Let's say Derek Harmon's the pick. We both have him mocked at 21 to the Steelers. A lot of people have him becoming a Steeler in their mock drafts. Do you really think he jumps in and plays a decent amount right away, like 30, 40 snaps a game?
Probably not right away. I would say probably by the midway point, he's up there.
Okay. Playing alongside Cam, subbing out for Cam.
Oh, they love to sub in and out. So you're going to need six guys anyways. They like Logan Lee, I guess, although he could have played last year, but they basically redshirted him with that injury. He was ready to go early. Benton, obviously. What, Liao? Who knows what Liao can do?
I don't even know what position Liao is.
Loudermilk is a guy that's big and strong, but he's a guy that's going to get you, you know, 10 to 12 snaps. But you need that guy who is a Tuitt-like, Ogunjobi-like, as in eating some snaps. I don't know if you can really count on a guy coming in right away, even though he's very talented and very accomplished in college, to expect him to make that transition quite quickly. At that point, you just put Benton out there and play, you know, 70% nickel anyways. You know.
How's this for a comparison from KC Bus on YouTube? Grant has the potential to be comparable to Haloti Ngata.
That's a tough one. That's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that's a should be. Maybe he does. I'm not saying the kid couldn't be that, but that's a hell of a comparison.
Haloti Ngata.
I don't know if that means he breaks Ben's nose at some point, but I guess it's always a possibility since Ngata did that.
Didn't they trade him? Who did they trade him to? I forget.
Ravens
traded him because.
Trade him or did they cut him?
Whatever it was, I don't know how well he got along with Harbaugh at the time. I'm not quite sure. And they moved him.
He ended up in Detroit, didn't he? He ended up in I just looked it up. He ended up in Detroit for a few years. Final year in 2018 was in Philly. They didn't trade him. I thought they just cut him. Hold on, here we go. Yeah, they just let his
they traded him.
Yeah, they just let his contract expire. That was all.
What the? Remember Mark Spindler?
No.
Defensive lineman went to Detroit in the first round and maybe 90, 91. Mark Spindler.
Nope.
Oh, my God.
What about him?
I'm just saying he was a defensive lineman from Pitt that went to Detroit. You were talking about Detroit. And I like Mark Spindler. He's one of my favorite Pitt players back in my youth.
Really?
Look up Mark Spindler, baby.
I'll have to look up Mark Spindler. It sounds very exciting.
Mark Spindler, you need some. It's Mark with a C, by the way.
Oh, well, in that case.
He had a big mullet.
It was the 80s. Everybody had a big mullet.
He was about, he's about 5 years older.
This guy played in the league for like 7, 8 years.
What do you think I'm telling you? Some bum here?
No, I had no idea. I don't remember him at all. I feel bad.
I bet you he was a top 15 pick, wasn't he?
He was in Detroit. Let's see. He was a
27, maybe. I don't even know. 23rd round.
Third round pick.
I thought he was higher than that. Whatever.
Scranton.
Boy, we really.
We diverged or digressed or whatever the hell it's called. Anyway, so that means we both have.
That means I win and you lose.
No, I don't think anybody wins or loses when we get this deep into the show. We both have D-line in the first round and fourth round. We both have running back in the third round. We both have a receiver in the final three rounds. The only difference, I added a depth offensive lineman. You added a third-string quarterback.
You added a guy that's going to get cut, and I'm going to add a guy that's going to be on the roster.
You don't need to draft a third-string quarterback.
Who especially says if it's named string? Kyle McCord. Who's your first string?
You keep telling me it's Aaron Rodgers.
Well, it's probably going to be for a year. What are we going to do next year?
Now draft another one.
Okay. Well, now you're going to waste another pick on a backup quarterback.
Well, no. Backup
out of here now.
Next year, well, hey, who knows? Maybe Mason takes over.
Mason will be 30, right?
No, Mason's not going to be 30 next year, is he?
I think he's going to be 30 next year.
You just made that up. You just aged Mason. Why would you do that?
Yes, I'm guessing it is. How old is he?
He is going to be 30 next year. I'm sorry. He just looks so damn good. He doesn't look like he's going to be 30.
Actually, he's going to be 30 here in a couple months, so kiss it.
Man, that's...
Boy, how's it feel to be always wrong?
Always wrong? Where's that spider? Still climbing up your window?
Oh, yeah, he's up at the top now.
Yeah.
He's still trying to get in, that son of a gun.
We got to thank our friends at First and Goal Collectibles out at South Hills Village. They have provided the beautiful autographed Pat Freiermuth Penn State helmet that we will be giving away via random drawing to someone who is in the first 1,500 subscribers to Cabali and Mac on our YouTube page. For those of you that are subscribed and you'd like to win this, or I don't know, maybe you're Mark Spindler and you're a Pitt fan and you want to just take it and chuck it over a hillside somewhere or sell it to someone, you can do whatever the hell you want to do with it once you win it. By all means, tell a friend, tell a family member, tell someone who needs to hear Kaboom talk about rigging the carts at Aldi. With a house,
I think I'm heading there now too. By the way,
yeah, you cheapskate.
I'll bring a quarter. You know what? This my old car I have doesn't have a quarter in it, so I better freaking remember the quarter.
You better find one, otherwise you're gonna have to shove
your
key.
Where's the boy at? Get the boy down here.
He didn't answer me. Hold on. He just actually. It's funny. He said, "It's too late right now." No. Come down. We're just about to finish. Hurry. Okay, there we go. Regardless of whether you have a friend or family member or loved one that wants an autographed Pat Freiermuth Penn State helmet or whether you want it, make sure if you're subscribed, you're telling someone else to subscribe. And then once we get to 1,500, one of you will have an opportunity to win that beautiful Pat Freiermuth autographed Penn State helmet from First and Goal Collectibles, firstandgoalsports.com online. Check them out at South Hills Village Mall as well, right down there on the first level, down by Macy's, down that end of the mall.
I always park on the other side.
What's that?
I always park at Dick's and walk through.
I'm not going to say anything.
Park on the other side. Park to Macy's.
You park in the food court is the best place in my opinion.
I see. I'm very.
And then you can go either direction.
I'm very loyal to my where I'm parking spots at Sam's. Why? I'm very loyal to my parking spots at the South Hills Village.
Are you one of those people that parks way far away because you don't want get your car to get dented or scratched?
You're funny.
you're always looking for the first spot in the row, aren't you?
You see, Sam's Club is very. I always park next to the cart machine. The little cart thing.
See, I don't like here's to park right next to it because then I'm there's right a good chance somebody's cart could smack your car.
No, you push it in there and nobody's on your right side to open the door. You always know where you're parked at. One day in Walmart, one day at a Walmart, I couldn't find a car. And one day at the airport, I forgot the old take the picture gimmick of where you're at, and I was just walking around like...
Wait, you take a picture every time you go in so you don't forget where you're parked?
No, when I'm at the airport.
At the airport. Okay, sorry.
So I was like, dude, where's my car? I'm just walking in circles. I'm like, what is going on here? I couldn't find it.
That happened to us when we went out to L.A. For like a long weekend once, my wife and I. We parked... So to go to the Jimmy Kimmel show, you have to park at what's called L.A. Live. And it's just this massive, like, 7-story parking garage underground. And we couldn't remember. Every floor looks exactly the same. And we couldn't remember where the hell we parked. We literally walked around that garage for, like, an hour looking for our car.
Did your goldfish die?
No, the goldfish did not die, thankfully. Cosmo. The boy said he's coming down, but
Maybe he can't find your little secret passageway into
It's not a secret passageway. It's... Right there. It's the basement right there. That's the basement.
It's very strange.
It's not strange. What's strange about having a room in the basement off of the laundry room where I do the show? What's you going to answer me?
I'm just reading a pony tweet. Somebody says that Shedeur Sanders isn't as good as Bo Nix. Oh, great. Whatever.
Who said? Pony said?
Oh, somebody from KQV or something. I don't know.
Come here. All right. It's take your kid to work today. This is Braden. All right. You get to make one. Come here.
Come here.
You get to make the Steelers' first-round draft pick. Who would it be? Jackson Dart?
Yeah.
What if Shedeur Sanders is there?
I'll take him.
You'll take Shedeur over Jackson Dart?
Yeah.
Okay. What if neither one of them is there? You're focused on quarterbacks, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Go learn about mortgages.
That was quick.
Yeah. A man of many words. Brady.
Unlike you.
What the hell is that supposed to mean? Do I talk too much?
Who did he pick, by the way? He didn't put the mic up.
I did put it up. He said Jackson Dart.
Yeah, then he said, if you're not there, then...
I said, if he's not there, what do you do? He said, Shedeur Sanders. I said, what if neither one of them is there? He said, I don't know. So there you go.
Oh, no. It's on Steelers Depot already.
Yep.
Mac's kid makes pick. And makes his social media private.
Then my kid gets blamed. Much like Joe Shane's kid will get blamed.
So that was Take Your Kid to Work Day.
There you go. Where are your kids? You couldn't.
One's in school and one's with the wife. One went to the wife with the wife because he knows he gets like pizza and ice cream truck downtown somewhere. That's why he's gone. He's ready to go. By the way, when your kid misses school, I got an email, another message, a call, and a text.
You can't skip school these days.
It's unbelievable.
Could you imagine if all that stuff existed when we were kids? I'd have gotten busted so many times.
Did you ever skip school as in skip out like after fifth period or something?
Yeah. It was, yeah, definitely. There were times where in high school where we just left, yeah. But I had newspaper class in eighth period the last couple of years. So that was basically like skipping school anyway. I would just go down to the newspaper room and dick around, be a jag off for a couple periods, and then school would be over. And that's why I'm not so smart. Are you done reading social media? Are you done reading tweets?
We're in Austin Beckholtz now. He said he'd take Jackson Dart.
Okay.
Over Shedeur Sanders. So there goes that.
Well, I'd take Dart over Sanders too. That doesn't. I don't know what. Is this just you reading tweets?
Yeah, me reading tweets. A big draft expert coming up on the Starkey and Joe show.
Well, thank you for teasing to another outlet, to another at least.
Well, we're done, so what makes a difference?
We're done. That's true. We are. Make sure you're subscribed and you tell your friends, family, and loved ones to subscribe as well. When we get to 1,500, we'll give away the autographed Pat Freiermuth Penn State helmet. And tomorrow morning, we'll be here to break down what happened in the first round. And who knows? We may just end up talking about Derek Harmon again and where they go Friday night in the non-existent second round where they don't have a pick and the third round. Or maybe all the crazy things happen and we're talking about a second round pick as well. We'll see. But thanks so much. Make sure you follow on social media, Kabali and Mac. Subscribe on YouTube. And enjoy the first round of the draft tonight, people. We appreciate each and every one of you. Incredible yinzers for following along with our nonsense here on Kabali and Mac.